most of us are familiar with the sermon that is recorded in Acts the second chapter. It is a sermon that Peter and the rest of the apostles preached on the day of Pentecost. We are familiar with it, I think, as much probably as any other text in Scripture, at least in the New Testament. But I want to remind all of us tonight about the conclusion of that sermon. In the 36th verse of Acts 2, Luke records for us this statement made by those who preached on that day. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified." And then the text tells us when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter told them what they were to do, and that is to repent and be baptized. Tonight, we're going to engage in a period of singing, especially. We're going to have three readings. These readings and these songs that we're going to sing tonight all are going to stress the three things that are stated in verse 36. That God has made the Savior, Jesus Christ, He's made Him both Lord and Christ. He's made Him the ruler of our life, and He's made Him the King of our lives as well. And we are blessed to be citizens of that great kingdom. And so I hope as we sing these songs tonight that we will be reminded again of the great spiritual blessings that we have in Christ and the relationships and what these relationships mean to us in this life. I've asked several men to help us tonight as we together participate in this service, and I appreciate their willingness to do that. At the close of this particular song service, Brother Brad Belcher will offer the extend the invitation, and then following that, we'll sing number 911. We'll be singing the first and last verses, and Matt will be leading us in that invitation song. But if you would, now, before we begin this part of our service, I want to ask Brother Joel Gorky, if he would, to come and help us as we pray to God, ask God to help us as we engage in this tonight, and help us benefit from being together and singing these songs, listening to these readings, and offering up this worship to Him. So, Joel, if you would, please.
If you'll go in prayer with me this time. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this day that we can be here on another first day of the week in the presence, in your presence, and in the assembly with other Christians. And we humbly approach you in prayer at this time, praising you for so many things. We praise your matchless name. We praise you as the creator of the world. We praise you as the provider of all that we have in this life. And we praise you as the one with whom we can share the joys that please us, and at the same time tell you about the sorrows that sometimes overwhelm us. And it is in our gratitude that we thank you for the physical things that we enjoy in this life, for our shelter, for our homes and our clothing, and for the ability that we have to earn an income, for the companionship that we have, for the support and friendships of our physical families and our spiritual families, fellow Christians. We thank you for our health, for sustaining us each day with the food that we have to eat, and sustaining us through nature with simple things like oxygen and the warmth of the sun, and for the other things that we oftentimes overlook, and we don't think of them like we should because they are around us every day when we get up. But we should be reminded each day that you have seen to our every physical need. So we've come to you at this time here this evening to worship you because of the spiritual things that you've blessed us with. We thank you for your plan of salvation, which has been preserved through time for all who have walked on this earth to come to repentance. We thank you for your Spirit that guides us. We thank you for your written word that teaches us here in our daily walk. We thank you for the examples of men and women who were faithful servants now and in the past. And we thank you for the lessons that we learn, even in our sorrow, from those that were unfaithful. We thank you for telling us how we can please you, as we will strive to do this evening through this act of worship. And most importantly, Father, we thank you for your Son, your pure and righteous Son, begotten and set aside for the purpose of saving men from from their sins, whose life was foretold throughout Old Testament prophecy, who was born of humble means, born to conscientious parents that trusted in you, a son whose very name means that you are with us. Because he was exalted by you, he is to be the ruler of our lives. His name is above all names, and it is to his name one day that all knee will bow. And because we are in subjection to him, we are to confess his name, and in our obedience, to actually do the things that he has asked us to do. Because heaven is the reward, the home that he has prepared for those who seek to please him here in this life. He came to this earth and now guides us in all truth. We thank you for the confidence and the forgiveness that comes through his blood. You have made the preparations for our worship, and now it is up to us to clear our minds of the distractions from our hearts and the burdens in our lives so that we can now approach you and worship you and in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your son and for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your love for us. And it is through his name that we offer this prayer. Amen.
If you'd like to follow along, I will be reading from the book of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
If you would like to follow along in your songbooks, we're going to be singing number 381, 382, and number 383, all three right in a row. And we'll be singing just the first and last verses of all three of these songs. So we'll be starting with Years I Spent in Vanity, number 381. And if you will, please stand for these three songs.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Thank you. Yeah.
highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And from Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works?
You workers of lawlessness.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
John chapter 18, we'll read verses 33 through 37. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Pilate therefore said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice."
Thank you. Oh. Each time that we meet, we try to extend the invitation of our Lord. And there are several reasons for that. One is that sometimes, as Christians, is we turn our back on the Lord. We forsake Him. Sometimes we do things of such a public nature that we need to confess that publicly and to repent of that and to be restored to our proper relationship with God. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9 tells us is that if we confess our faults, as His blood will cleanse us from our sins. And then there's also another reason is that there may be some that are visiting with us that are not Christians, that are outside of the body of Christ. And we want to make sure is that we do not conclude any services before you have an opportunity of becoming a child of God. Because if you're not a Christian, if you do not know God and have not obeyed the gospel, is that you're also in a lost state. Either situation is very detrimental to our soul. Of course, it would make sense that you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't have an interest and also want to know more about pleasing your Lord. Mankind has been told to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to believe it, and to confess your belief that Jesus is the Christ. To repent or to turn away from your sins and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. We're fortunate that God does allow you turns. We come into this world, clean. We start making decisions, and not all of them are good decisions. We do some things that are contrary to His will. He does not want us to continue in that state. And then, of course, we're to remain faithful the rest of our days, whatever those days might be. Let's try to take a current event and make an application for our lives today. Many people, the last several years, have been losing their homes, apartments, houses, whatever the case might be, because of an economic situation. And of course, we may be in that number. We don't know. We don't have the answers for tomorrow. But you know, we do have comfort, just like Jesus told the disciples in John 14. He said, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." Now, the King James 16:11 says mansions. Of course, we know that this represents a dwelling place, but if you stop and think about what God has made, what He has created for us, some of you like the ocean, the water. I happen to like the mountains. There's many other things out there that we enjoy every day in this life that He's created for our benefit. But whatever it is, everything has been magnificent, beyond our comprehension. We cannot even begin to create anything like this world that we are living in, that God has created for us. Why did He do that? Well, He did it because He loves us. And He also, as He told the disciples then, He says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and you know the way." And the way is Jesus. He is the way, the only way. We sing a song often, is "This World Is Not My Home." We sang a song just tonight about Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. We realize is that we're temporary here. Life is short. But Jesus has prepared a place for those that will serve Him. There's also really two places that's been prepared. There's a place that's called hell. And that's where all evil is. That's where all the torment is. That's where those that have lived contrary to the will of God will have the rest of eternity as their place. And it's an eternal separation from God. And He's prepared the place that we talked about in John 14. A place that's prepared for those Christians, those that serve Him. That's a place where good is. That's a place where peace is. That is where God is. And that is where your home can be. That's where He wants your home to be. But as all things in this life, He's left the decision up to us. He gives us the illustration of both. But the decision belongs to you. I don't know where you want to be, but I want to be with God. And that's why we try to extend heaven's invitation at each service, is we want you to be there also. God wants you to be there. And if we can help you in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ or being restored to your proper relationship with God, please come now as we stand and sing.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marked by sin.
Made it known to me tonight that she has, you just sit down up there, that'd be fine. She has a friend named Wayne Lowry. Wayne's in prison, and she's quite concerned about him. She said things are going well in her life, but that she would like for us to pray for Wayne. I think that's certainly appropriate, and we want to do that now. So if you'll bow your heads with me, we'll do that at this time. Our good Father, we thank you so much.